Good morning and welcome to St John the Baptist on Sunday the 29th of March. I'm very glad you can join us, and first of all I need to tell you that Rebecca and David are isolating because of the coronavirus. So before we start the service, I'm just going to light a candle and say a prayer for them and for their family at this time. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for Rebecca and for David and for Johnny and the whole wider family at this worrying time. We pray you'll keep them safe, that they would have a mild form of the illness. And Lord, we pray that you would be very close to them, help them, protect them, help them to feel close to you and to be comforted by the prayers and the love of their family and friends. At this time, we commit them into your hands and ask that your kingdom come, your will be done in their lives. We look to you as our healer, Lord, and our saviour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So as you can hear, Fiz Gunn has very kindly stepped in to help me with this recording. And I'm going to share a PowerPoint of a service with you so that everything, hopefully, that you need will arrive on your screen as we go through the service. There we are. So if you welcome to our service today, I'll start with the notices. You may already be familiar with the church website. Here it is. This is the homepage of our church website. And you can see that the talks are sitting there. Very easy to find the talks recently. We've had 150 downloads for David's talk last Sunday, so people are accessing these talks and listening to them. And the prayers for morning prayer are sitting here in a column as well. So you're very welcome to listen and watch to any of those. And today's service will go here under talks once it's been recorded. The upcoming and current information is here, this tab that I'm just highlighting now. If you click on that, you will reach a different page, which looks like this, and it's entitled Upcoming Events. At present, as you know, all church group physical meetings are suspended because of the virus, but we are gradually setting up a variety of online groups and activities, and we'd like you to feel free to contact us, contact me, contact the church by clicking that link there for more details of what's going on, or just to have a chat if there's something that you're concerned about or you need some kind of help. Please click this link and let the church know. Just a word about our newsletter. It goes out every weekend. Please make sure you're receiving it and it's not dropping into your junk folder. If you're not receiving it and you would like to be, drop me an email at commssjbcurch@gmail.com. And I will make sure that you are on our newsletter or our church members' mailing lists. This may involve a consent form, which you can easily do by email. Church Online is getting started. It is a work in progress, but so far, today, as you know, there is an online church service at 10:30 a.m. If we scroll down that page, you can see a little bit more detail about that. There's an online service at 10:30 later this morning with a talk which will not be from David, actually. Bible readings, prayers and so on will be in this recorded service now, but there will be conversation and fellowship at 10:30. So do join us. The link you need is sitting here in that page. And also online, there are some, Gary's been recording some stories for kids, some very good stories on that link there, which he will do more as time goes on. Our weekly talks will be recorded and you can find them on the homepage, as I showed you, and the morning prayer, which I'm doing, is also on the homepage. There are also church groups meeting using Zoom, using Skype, and several WhatsApp groups. So if you want to keep in touch or you want to join a WhatsApp group, do let me know and we can put you in touch for social support and for spiritual groups and home groups. So that's all on the website. And we turn to our service together. The grace, mercy, and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
We pray together. Lord, direct our thoughts. Teach us to pray. Lift up our hearts to worship you in spirit and in truth. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord God Almighty is our Father.
He loves us and tenderly cares for us.
The Lord Jesus Christ is our Saviour.
He has redeemed us and will defend us to the end.
The Lord, the Holy Spirit, is among us.
He will lead us in God's holy way. To God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be praise and glory today and forever. Amen.
Amen. We're going to say the song together from Sing Glory. It's number 122, Jesus is the Name We Honour. And Fizz has very kindly agreed to say these through so that we can praise God together.
Jesus is the name we honour. Jesus is the name we praise. Majestic name above all other names. The highest heaven and earth proclaim that Jesus is our God. We will glorify, we will lift him high, we will give him honour and praise. We will glorify, we will lift him high, we will give him honour and praise. Jesus is the name we worship. Jesus is the name we trust. He is the King above all other kings. Let all creation stand and sing that Jesus is our God. We will glorify, we will lift him high, we will give him honour and praise. We will glorify, we will lift him high, we will give him honour and praise. Jesus is the Father's splendour, Jesus is the Father's joy. He will return to reign in majesty, and every eye at last will see that Jesus is our God. We will glorify, we will lift him high. We will give him honour and praise. We will glorify, we will lift him high. We will give him honour and praise.
We're going to say sorry to God together now. One thing that struck me this week is a particular quote from Helen Keller, who, as many of you I'm sure will know, was rendered both blind and deaf, and was very isolated for the first 7 years of her life until she was taught hand language by her governess. And one of the things that she said is quite profound. The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart. I think at this time when we cannot see and touch people that we used to see and touch, and things and places that we perhaps used to see and touch so readily, Lord, help us to absorb this wisdom of feeling with our hearts. And as we come to think about what is in our hearts, we're going to say sorry to God for the darkness that so easily entangles us. The grace of God has dawned upon the world with healing for all. Let us come to him in sorrow for our sins, seeking healing and salvation. God, our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us.
Save us and help us.
For behaving just as we wish without thinking of you, Father, forgive us.
Save us and help us.
For failing you by what we do and think and say, Father, forgive us.
Save us and help us.
For letting ourselves be drawn away from you by temptations in the world about us, Father, forgive us.
Save us and help us.
For living as if we were ashamed to belong to your Son, Father, forgive us.
Save us and help us.
May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive us our sins and make us holy to serve him in the world, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Now our second song.
God, you're good to me. You gave me life and set me free. You heard me knock and opened up the door. God, you're good to me. Opened my eyes and let me see. I could search, but I won't find anyone like you. I know I don't deserve this love you have for me. You sent your son to die upon a tree. And sometimes, when I'm feeling far from you, I hear your voice calling me and I begin to sing. God, you're good to me. You gave me life and set me free. You heard me knock and opened up the door. God, you're good to me. Open my eyes and let me see. I could search, but I won't find anyone like you. I know you'll always be with me every day, your spirit in me showing me the way. And I will try to be the best that I can be, because I know your love for me is deeper than the sea. God, you're good to me. You gave me life and set me free. You heard me knock and open up the door. God, you're good to me. Open my eyes and let me see. I could search, but I won't find anyone like you.
At this point in the service, we make our offerings for God's work. And in the current time, our regular giving methods may be slightly different. So please do continue to give to the church if you're able to, using your regular giving method during this time. If you've lost your job or money is a worry, please don't feel you have to give, because God loves a cheerful giver. If your usual physical method of giving is something that involves physical green envelopes or coins, that will be currently suspended. And if you would like to give online, here are the details on the screen for you: the account name, the sort code, and the account number. The charity name is Kingston Bank PCC, and we don't have a separate charity number. But don't forget to gift aid your donation if you are a UK taxpayer. So that's how you would give to the church at this point in time. We're very grateful for that. Yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the splendour and the majesty. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours.
All things come from you, and of your own do we give you.
And then we can stand up to pray the collect. Most merciful God, who by the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, delivered and saved the world, grant that by faith in him who suffered on the cross, we may triumph in the power of his victory, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I'll just say a prayer that we pray together for the children. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of all the children within our community and for the gift to us of those who work with them, teachers, parents, carers, and helpers. Be with all the children in our world and teach them by the power of your Holy Spirit in all that they do. In Jesus' name, amen. As we stand, we celebrate our faith by saying together, we believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to listen to our first Bible reading. It's Romans 8, verses 5 to 11. You may like to pause the recording and find this in your own Bible, and you can follow it on the next slides.
Romans 6, verses 5 to 11. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Fiz. And our second Bible reading, which Fiz is also going to read, is Psalm 130. Again, it appears on the next slide, Psalm 130.
Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins.
We're going to do our third song from Sing Glory, From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe.
From heaven you came, helpless babe, entered our world, your glory veiled. Not to be served, but to serve, and give your life that we might live. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king. There in the garden of tears, my heavy load he chose to bear. His heart with sorrow was torn. Yet not my will but yours, he said. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king. Come see his hands and his feet, the scars that speak of sacrifice, hands that flung stars into space to cruel nails surrendered. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king. So let us learn how to serve and in our lives enthrone him. Each other's needs to prefer, for it is Christ we're serving. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king.
We move into a time of a talk. One of my favourite books over many years of my Christian journey is The Normal Christian Life by Watchman Nee. And in interpreting our passage from Romans today, I'm going to very much follow the ideas of Watchman Nee, which had a huge impact on me. And I think he explains many of the ideas very clearly. So Watchman Nee himself was a Chinaman of Fuchu in China. He died in 1972, and he became famous for his liberating teaching on effective Christian living and life in the spirit. He was actually imprisoned in China for 20 years for his faith. And most of the records we have of his teaching are simply from his verbal talks after that he was released, and people made notes of them. So a modern day inspirational Christian who lived in isolation for a long time. The first eight chapters of Romans actually form a self-contained unit which falls into two halves, splitting at 5:11 and finishing at 8:39. In the first section, we find the plural word sins is used a lot, but in the second section, sins hardly occurs once, but the singular word sin is used again and again and is the subject mainly dealt with. Why is this? It is because in the first section it's a question of the sins I have committed before God, which are many and could be listed out. However, in the second section, our passage today is in this section, Romans 5:12-8:39, Paul is dealing with the question of sin as a principle working in me, in us, and in our world. When God's light first shines into our hearts, our first cry is for forgiveness, because we realize we have committed sins before him. But once I have received forgiveness of sins, I make a new discovery, the discovery of sin. And I realize that not only have I committed sins before God, but that there is something very wrong within me. I remember in my teens, I used to come home from church feeling all clean and at peace with myself and the world. And then we would have our Sunday lunch and all would be well. But then there would be the washing up and I never wanted to help. Or the grass would need cutting and I didn't want to rake the cut grass. Or something else would happen, and however hard I tried, I couldn't manage to stay in that lovely God zone for very long at all. I discovered that I have the nature of a sinner. There is an inward inclination to sin, to anger, to laziness, to selfishness, to jealousy and pride and hatred and all the many sins we are familiar with. There is a power within us that draws us to sin, and when that power breaks out, I commit sins. I may seek and receive forgiveness, but then I sin once more. So life goes on in a vicious cycle of sinning and being forgiven and then sinning again. I appreciate the blessed fact of God's forgiveness, but at this point I want something more than that. I want deliverance. I need forgiveness for what I have done, but I also need deliverance from what I am. This second problem, the problem of sin, is the subject of our passage today. And this problem of the repeating cycle of falling into sin because of our own nature is what Paul is talking about and going to help us with. He says, I have been justified by faith and I have peace with God in Romans 5 verse 1. But I still have a lot of unrest inside myself. At this point in my journey, God is no longer a cause of dread to me, but I am a great cause of trouble to myself still. Within me there is something that draws me to sin. There is peace with God, but there is no peace with myself. There is, in fact, a civil war inside me, and this inner condition is described perfectly by Paul in Romans 7, where the flesh and the spirit are seen to be in deadly conflict within me. But from this description, Paul leads us in chapter 8 to the inward peace of a walk in the spirit. The mind of the flesh is death because it is enmity against God. It argues against God. It is an enemy. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. For the sake of illustration, let us suppose that the government should wish to deal drastically with the problem of strong drink and should decide that the whole country should go dry. In the light of recent days, that may not seem quite so unusual as perhaps it was when Watchman Nee suggested it. But how could that decision be carried out? How could we help? If we were to search every shop and house across the land and smash all the bottles of wine or beer or whiskey that we came across, would that be enough? Surely not. We might thereby rid the land of every drop of alcoholic drink, but behind those bottles of strong drink are the factories that produce them. And if we only deal with the bottles and we leave the factories untouched, production will still continue and there is no permanent solution of the problem. It is clear that the drink-producing factories, breweries, distilleries must also be closed down if the drink question is ever to be effectively and permanently settled. We are the factories. Our actions are the products. The blood of the Lord Jesus dealt with the question of the products, namely our sins. So the question of what we have done in the past is settled. But would God have stopped there? What about the question of what we are? Our sins were produced by us. They have been dealt with, but how are we going to be dealt with? Do you believe the Lord would cleanse away all our sins, but leave us to get rid of the sin-producing factories on our own? Do you believe that having put away the goods produced, he would leave us without any help to deal with by ourselves with the source of the problem? To ask the question is surely to answer it. Of course, he has not done half the work and left the other half undone. He has done away with the goods, our sins, and also he has made a clean sweep of the factory that produces the goods. The finished work of Christ really has gone to the root of our problem and dealt with it. I am the resurrection and the life, said Jesus. There are no half measures with God. He has made full provision for sin's rule to be utterly broken. I do encourage you to read Romans, the whole of chapters 5 to 8 for yourself about this, but let me try to explain the key idea. In chapters 5 and 6, Paul has shown that by nature we were, quotes, in Adam, but now by faith in Christ's redemptive work we are, quotes, in Christ. These are objective statements. They help our understanding about our position. But through Romans 7 and 8, the words change, and it is about whether we walk in the flesh or walk in the Spirit. These, in quotes, in the flesh and in the Spirit, are subjective, and they relate to our walk as a matter of practical experience. Whether we are in Adam or in Christ is only a part of the picture. Scripture makes it clear that how we walk is required to complete the whole thing. Leaving aside for now as settled the question of whether we are in Adam or in Christ, the time has come to ask ourselves, am I living in the flesh or in the Spirit? To live in the flesh is to do something out from myself, as in Adam. It is to derive strength from the old natural source of life that I inherited from him, so that I now enjoy and experience all of Adam's very complete ability for sinning, which all of us know to be so effective in producing sins. Now the same is true of what is in Christ. To enjoy and experience the truth of me being in Christ, I must learn what it is to walk in the Spirit. Otherwise, what is true of me in him is not going to be expressed in my outward actions. The truth I believe and confess in my words also has to become true subjectively as I walk in the Spirit. Living in the Spirit means that I trust the Holy Spirit to do in me what I cannot do myself. This life is completely different inside me from the life I would naturally live of myself. Each time I am faced with a new demand from the Lord, I need to look to him to do in me what he requires of me. It is not a case of trying, but of trusting. It is not inner struggling, but of resting in him. If I have a hasty temper, impure thoughts, a quick tongue, or a critical spirit, or anything else, I shall not set out with a self-help manual and determined efforts to change myself using my own strength, but instead, reckoning myself dead in Christ to these things, I shall look to the Spirit of God and be confident that he will produce in me the new purity, or the needed value, the meekness, or the humility. Some of you have no doubt had an experience something like the following. You have been asked to go and see a friend, and you knew the friend was not very friendly, but you trusted the Lord to see you through. You told him before you set out that in yourself you could not but fail, and you asked him in prayer for all that was needed today. Then, to your surprise, you did not feel at all irritated, though your friend was far from gracious. On your return, you thought over the experience and marvelled at how calm you had been, and you sought an explanation. This is the explanation the Holy Spirit carried you through. Unfortunately, we only have this kind of experience once in a while, but it should be ours constantly, and that is what this walking in the Spirit is about. The object of temptation is always to get us to do something in our own strength. Satan's temptations are not designed primarily to make us do something especially sinful, but merely to cause us to act in our own energy and strength out of ourselves and the old way of living, the old habits, and as soon as we step out of our hiding place to do something on that basis, he has gained the victory over us. But if we refuse to do anything out of ourselves and stay under the cover of Christ Jesus, then he cannot get us. The divine way of victory does not therefore permit of our doing anything we like, nor of anything coming from our own instincts and apart from the will of God. In the Chinese war, they had tanks who would fire at the Chinese army, and the Chinese army were outnumbered and outgunned by these tanks. So what happened was they devised a strategy. They would fire one bullet towards the tank, and then they would wait for about 15 minutes. Then they'd fire another bullet. Then they'd wait about 15 minutes. Then they'd fire another bullet and wait. And eventually the man driving the tank would put his head up to see what these little occasional annoyances were. And as soon as he put his head out, he did something, he lost the safety of that tank and they were able to shoot him. It's like that. The command is a positive one. Walk by the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The Holy Spirit has been given us to take charge of this business. We are not supposed to do it ourselves in our own strength, in our own intelligence. We are supposed to rely on Jesus. The cross has been given to provide salvation for us. The Spirit has been given to produce salvation in us. Christ in our hearts by the Spirit is the power of salvation. We often talk of trying and trusting and the difference between the two. I remember trying many times over to please God, but here is the stark reality. None of us can. The best prayer is, Lord, I cannot do it. You must do it, Lord. I will no longer try to do it. Lord, I cannot. Therefore, I will take my hands off, and from now on, I will trust you for that. We have to refuse to act. We have to depend on him to act. And from there, we enter fully and joyfully into the action he initiates. It is not passive, and it doesn't mean we do nothing. It is an active life, drawing life from him. But it happens by a very different method inside us than how we used to live. Of myself, as Romans 8:8 says, I cannot please God. And I felt an inner defeat and helplessness to do anything about it. But now, instead of turning inwardly to my own resources and living from the sin factories of my own desires and failing to please God, this new law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now I can do all things through him that gives me strength, in Philippians 4:13. Whenever a need or a problem or a challenge comes along, I turn to his inner grace factory and I pray to him. I say, I cannot, but you can. You must do it, for I cannot. I trust this to you, and I hand it over to Jesus, and then I leave it there. The mind of the Spirit is life and peace. And this becomes my experience too as I learn to walk in the Spirit. As our psalm told us, we wait for the Lord. We wait for the Lord. We wait for the Lord. Because of his unfailing love, our hope is in the Lord. Amen. Please sit or kneel as we pray for the needs of others. God, our refuge and stronghold, we put our trust in your salvation. Lord Jesus Christ, you humbled yourself and became as nothing for our redemption. Give to your church the servant mind to display your grace and mercy. We bow the knee and confess your name. Lord Jesus Christ, on this day the crowd shouted praises, but in just a few days they turned on you. We pray for all at the mercy of fickle popularity, and we pray for those who govern us at this time. We pray especially for those in government, for our Prime Minister and others who are sick at this time. Give all the governments strength and courage to hold what is true and right, and give governments across the world the ability to work together. Lord Jesus Christ, as the crowd spread their cloaks and wave tree branches in your honour, we give thanks for the occasions that fill us with joy at being alive. Draw us closer to one another and to you at this time when we have to be physically separated. Help us not to be socially apart, but to be able to contact each other, to phone, to talk, to email, and to stay in touch using social media, and to reach out to friends and family and people that live near us and that we have their numbers to ask them if they're doing okay. Help us, Lord, to be sensible, not to take risks, and to keep following the advice we are given, Lord. Draw us closer to one another and to you in ways that are not physical. Lord Jesus Christ, in your passion, we see our human frailty. Be with all whose endurance is strained and their spirit is weakened. We pray especially for our doctors and nurses and all the NHS staff doing such a brilliant job. We pray for those who work in care homes and for all those involved in medical staff. We pray for the teachers and those who are essential workers. We pray for all those who are working so hard at this time to look after so many. And Lord, we pray for the sick and the bereaved. So many, Lord, it's difficult to imagine the deaths and the bereavements, the families and friends, the shock and the sadness. But Lord, we put them into your hands and we ask you to be there to comfort them, that they may know that you are the resurrection and the life, that their loved ones are at peace, and that at this time there is a strength there, and that they can draw their comfort from you and from family and friends around them. Lord, we pray that nobody would be isolated, particularly in our village. Lord, we pray that those who feel alone and lonely are able to reach out for help and comfort. Sustain the weary with your eternal word, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ, you shared our life even to the point of death. Gather to yourself in gentleness and peace all who have died. As you are highly exalted, so may we come to share in your eternal kingdom. Merciful Father, accept our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Gathering our prayers and praises into one, as our Saviour has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We remind ourselves that we are called to live in peace. Although we are physically apart, I think this is a moment where we can just stretch out our hands in front of us towards our computers, towards our screens, and offer that peace that Christ gives us to others. Jesus says to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled or afraid. The peace of the Lord be always with you."
And with you, also with you.
Let us offer one another a sign of peace, God's seal on our prayers. And then we move to another song, Sing Glory 56. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, I hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think of God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and lead me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow with humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Our closing prayer we say together, glory to God, whose power at work among us can do infinitely more than all we can ask or conceive. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. I just remind you to join us for fellowship and conversation in the church Zoom meeting this morning online at 10:30. And don't forget that the clocks go forward this Sunday if you're watching this in the morning, 10:30 in the morning. Join our Zoom meeting using this link. It won't work on your screen because this is just a photograph. So you can copy the text into your machine, or you can use the website as I showed you at the beginning. Let's close with a blessing, which seems very appropriate for this time. It's called the uncomfortable blessing. I think many of us are very uncomfortable at the moment, and this is the uncomfortable blessing. May the Spirit bless us with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that we will live deep in our hearts. May the Spirit bless us with anger at injustice and oppression and exploitation of people and the earth, so that we will work for justice and peace. May the Spirit bless us with tears to shed for those who suffer, so that we will reach out our hands to comfort them. And may the Spirit bless us with foolishness to think that we can make a difference in the world, so that we will do all the things which others say cannot be done. Be with us now, Lord, and for the rest of the week and forevermore. Filled with your Spirit, may we journey on with you. Thank you for joining us, and may you have a great day and a great week. If you need anything, do contact the church using the website.